In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe this? Is this something that you believe? Sooner or later, every person answers this question. And I believe your answer to this question really sets the direction of faith in your worldview. It shapes your entire life, how you answer this question. I believe this. I am convinced of it. I believe by faith that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This is what I believe. I believe Scripture, that this Word, this is the Word of God, that it's infallible in its original text, that it is the truth. And I believe that this truth is confirmed, this truth is affirmed and on display for all to see as we examine the world around us, as we look at creation and how the world, the universe, was put together. Romans chapter 1, we reviewed this a couple of weeks ago, verses 19 and 20, says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." So I see this. This is what I see when I look at the world. I cannot deny that there is a Creator, a one who made all this, designed it perfectly. And that it's good that He designed you and I, that He made you and I this morning, that you and I are individual people created by God. It makes sense to me. Not only makes sense, but the Bible says it's true. The universe clearly speaks of a Creator, a designer, a divine supernatural power that intervened and made the universe. And everyone is without excuse to believe in Him. Well, when we look at the first few verses in Genesis, we always come to the question, well, how did He do it? And we're always asking that question. And if you talk to a lot of people, you'll notice that there's a lot of different ideas among Christians about how this happened. And I did a lot of reading about it. It's very interesting to me. You have several groups, and I'm not even going to mention all of them, but you have some called the Young Earth Creationists who believe that the earth is about 4,000 to 10,000 years old. And they believe in a literal six-day creation. As you look at the first chapter of Genesis, this first and second chapter, they believe in a literal 6 days, 24 hours, 24-hour day. Now, there's some real strengths to that. If you look at each of the accounts there, I'm not going to read it this morning because it's a long account. Hopefully you can read some this morning as we're going through this. But I'd encourage you to read chapter 1 on your own as well after the message sometime this week, just to kind of look at what it says in more detail. You have the morning and evening, the first day that's mentioned in each of the days, so that kind of gives you an idea that maybe this is a 24-hour day. But there's an interesting thing there also. If you look at the first four days, there is no sun and moon. And so how we mark our solar day, of course, is, well, we would say anyways, we would say the sun comes up and the sun goes down, the sun rises, the sun sets, even though we know that that's not actually what happens. But that's how we would mark our 24-hour day. And so it's curious to me that this is mentioned, and yet we don't see this 24-hour day that we would think of actually be even possible until after the fourth day. And so it makes you wonder, what does morning and evening really mean? Does it really mean 24-hour day? I have some questions about that. It's also interesting that if you look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, you have, at least in some translations, you have the word day mentioned there, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. In fact, it's given as one day there. in Genesis 2, verse 4. Whereas in Genesis chapter 1, the word day is used 6 times. And if you look at that word, it actually can mean a period of time. It doesn't necessarily mean 24 hours. So there's some question about whether it is a 24-hour day. And Christians love to argue about the fact. Is it 24 hours or was it longer? What was the period of time that it took for God to create the world? And then, of course, you have the fossil records, which seem to indicate that the world is much older than 10,000 years. So you got to figure out what to do with that. What do you do with the fossil records? You either have to discount carbon dating or come up with some other way to discount that, what scientists are discovering as far as the age of the universe, because they believe it's billions of years old. So I'm not going to argue the points this morning, but it's interesting to look at them. You have people who are what they call old earth creationists, that they believe the world is billions of years old and that God created it over a long period of time, not in 6 literal days. You have several that would believe that camp. The gap theory is one that has been mentioned, that if you look at Genesis 1:1, it says God created the heavens and the earth, and then Genesis 2:1, verse 2 says that the earth was formless and void. And so people in the gap theory would generally believe that God created everything, and then Satan was thrown down to the earth, it destroyed everything, and then God recreated it in the next few verses, as we see in the rest of the account. That's a real brief look at the gap theory, and there are variations of that, of how that occurred. Then you also have people who believe in theistic evolution. In other words, that God used the process of evolution in order to create things. And so God, over a period of long time, used the process of evolution. And they would also believe even that everybody came from one common, generally. There are differences on this, but generally they would believe everybody came from one common organism, and that everybody evolved from that. So there are believers who believe that God used that process. So as I was looking at all of these different ideas and studying, they're very intriguing to me. And I say, well, could God have done it in these ways? And, well, he's God, right? He could have done it however he wanted to, right? Could have taken a long time to do it. He could have done it instantaneously. He's God. He's supernatural. He can do anything. And so, yes, I believe he could have done it any one of these ways. And each of these views has some strengths, and each of them has some weaknesses. So what view do I hold to? Well, my view is I'm a creationist. Okay? I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, just as it says here. Now, I have some thoughts about some of these theories, but I feel like those are more on the personal level because I can't really prove them. I can't really say, well, this is definitely the way it happened. And so I would term myself as a creationist. I don't believe the Bible is a science textbook. I don't believe it was intended for that you could take it and give scientific conclusions about how this happened. I don't think God intended us to look at it that way. And so we need to be careful about how we use Scripture, not to force it to say things that it doesn't necessarily say. I don't think science either, or observation, or the study of our universe will ever answer all of these questions. I don't think it's possible. I believe that what we do discover in science does and will affirm the truth of Scripture. But I believe that there are many things that we will never really comprehend. And so I would suggest that as we approach the study of the creation story, that we look at Scripture with diligence and humility. That you know what you believe and why, but you always understand that much has not yet been revealed to you. There's much that you don't know, there's much that I don't know. It just hasn't been revealed to us. And so for us to speculate and say, or to say conclusively that this is what happened, is, I think, a little prideful. And so I think we need to approach our study of the creation story with some humility. Do you remember God's response to Job after he was expressing some very strong opinions about his particular situation? We find it in Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 6. Just a small part of it here. There's several chapters devoted to this, God's response. But he says, "Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you understand, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone?" And God goes on to lay out the questions to Job. Where were you when I created all of this? And so I think that question is directed to all of us. Where were we when all of this happened? We weren't there. We simply were not there. And so for us to say conclusively, this is exactly what happened, is prideful, I believe. And so we need to come at this with humility. God says, "You think I should be impressed with what you figured out, how it happened? Should I be impressed with that?" Humility and awe is the name of this game. We simply aren't there. We simply weren't there. And even if we were there, I don't believe that we would have been able to even explain it to anyone else exactly. I mean, how would you explain what you saw in God creating the world? I don't know that we would have the words to use, the pictures to describe what it is that happened during that time. I would have loved to have been there and watched it happen, but I don't know that we could even describe it adequately. So what do we know from this passage? What do we know from this account? What are the things that we should focus on? Well, we know that there is one God who is the creator and sustainer of all things, and that everything in the universe was created by him. And in Colossians, as well as other places in Scripture, we're reminded that Jesus Christ himself, who is one with the Father, was with him in creating all things. And we also get an idea from this passage in Colossians why things were created. For it says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We were created for the Creator. All things were made by him, and not just by him, but they were made for him. And I wonder if we get that understanding as we look at creation. Do we understand that not only were all of these things made by God, by the Son, but they were made for God and for his honor and for his glory? There's an order established here in Genesis chapter 1 that is crucial to understand. God is the creator. He is the only creator. And everything else that we see is created. Created things, created beings. God is the creator. We are the created. And of course, if we look at creation, we marvel at what we see, don't we? But we don't worship it. The sun is not to be worshipped. It's incredible, but it's a created thing. The stars are not to be worshipped. They're amazing, but they're created things. Your iPhone is an amazing thing. But all of the characteristics of that iPhone, everything that makes that iPhone work, was created at the very beginning of time. It just took us this long to figure out how to put all those things together. All of the things that are created, whales and polar bears are amazing creatures, but they point to a creator. We simply discover the things in creation. Mankind is incredible of what we can do. And I think of all the things that we've done and accomplished. If you just take one particular area, whether it's sports or medicine or technology, amazing things that mankind has done. And each of us could probably list an area of life that we're just fascinated with. Just fascinates us. We could read about it. We could talk about it. It's just, it makes us curious. It makes us wonder, how does this work? We're just fascinated by it. But yet, they're all created things. We can do sports, amazing things in sports, science, communications. We can love each other. We can have compassion. But all of these things are created things that are not to be worshipped. He is the only creator. God spoke it into being. And as you go through this passage in Genesis chapter 1, we see several, God said, it says all through here, God said, let there be light. And it was so. God said, let there be dry land and seas and sky. And it happened. God said, let there be vegetation. And it was so. God said, let there be a sun and a moon and days and seasons. And it happened. And he said, let there be creatures in the sea and birds in the air. And it was so. God said, let there be animals of all kinds on the earth. And it was so. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And it was so. Can you imagine the power of a God to be able to do that? Each of us has creative ability. Some are artists, some like technology, some write computer programs, some write books. I'm sure I didn't cover what your talent is. Some build things out of metal, out of wood, some till the soil. All of us have some creative ability, but we're working with things that were already created. We don't actually have the ability to make something out of nothing. Only God did that. But I feel like that creative ability in us, whether it's art or whatever it might be, it's just a little bit of a picture of the creativeness of God. A little bit of what it says God made us in His own image. I think that's a little bit of what we see there, the creative abilities that we have. But they are all created by God. So the main issue here is not whether God created the earth millions of years ago or 10,000 years ago or whether He used the evolutionary process to do so. I don't think these are the biggest questions when we look at the story of creation. There's much bigger questions to be answered here. And I only have a few minutes to even talk about what those might be. Some of those questions deal with the very essence of life. Who am I? And all of us have asked this, who am I and why am I here? What am I doing here? Why did God put me here? What is this person that was created? What am I supposed to do with my life? We all ask that question. And we get the answers here in this creation account, in this Colossians account that I read earlier. You were created by God to show His power, His love, His grace, His mercy, and His holiness to the world. You were made by Him, and you were made for Him. Now, I wonder if you've thought about that before, that you were made for God. I know we have lots of plans for our lives, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what we're going to accomplish. But did you ever think in your mind, you keep that in mind, that you were made for God? It's the very reason that you were made. God made all of it. And He made it incredibly good. In fact, you see that repeated all throughout this account. He made these things and He saw that it was good. He was pleased with it. But there's a temptation. We all have it. There's a temptation to worship the created instead of the Creator. To point to the created instead of the Creator. We have that temptation. We like to worship lots of things. In fact, we often maybe think, if you think honestly about yourself, there are times where we think that we are the center of the universe, that we're it, and everything has to do with us. We worship our accomplishments. We worship our jobs sometimes. We worship the opposite sex sometimes. We worship money and all manner of things that can be obtained with money, created things that could be obtained with money. We worship sports. Just wait till Ohio State football season comes and you will see how much we worship sports. It's true. We worship our country. We worship politics. We worship intelligence and academics. We worship entertainment and all the things that we can entertain ourselves with. It's a part of our worship, unfortunately. We worship each other. We worship our belief systems. What it is that we believe, what it is that we hold to. We love sometimes to worship those things. They become a god in themselves sometimes. It's true. We worship church and nice buildings and good worship and great preachers. And we worship good looks and nice cars. We even worship good moral behavior. Sometimes that becomes something to worship over God. We worship our children sometimes. We worship beauty. And yet there is a God in heaven who is asking us today, do you recognize me as the Creator? I created all of it, and I am sustaining all of it. It all works because of my power, because I am the Creator God. And he's asking us today, do you recognize me, and will you worship me? I so appreciated our worship time this morning and what Jesse had to say, and I was thinking I should have talked to him before the service because we could have like coordinated some things, but you know what? God already did that. He knew what he wanted to say here today. And he was talking to both of us. So, you know, neither of us can claim that. God is the Creator. He is the sustainer. He is the one who is speaking to us. He is the one that's directing our lives. And he alone is the one. He alone is the one to be worshipped. So do you recognize him for who he is? Will your life be a song of worship to your Creator? Now you may chafe against this idea, maybe for a long time, but I will tell you, you will never be truly fulfilled. And I believe this with all my heart. You will never be truly fulfilled until you acknowledge your Creator and embrace your purpose as the created, to bring him honor and glory. That is where we find our true fulfillment. And why is that? It's because that is what we were created for. So if you're here this morning and you're still struggling to find true fulfillment in life, there's a real simple answer, not simple to work out, but there's a simple answer to how you'll find that, and that is embracing the purpose for which you were made, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Creator God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And of course, we could add our list to that of what sometimes we exchange the glory of the immortal God for. I mean, if we think about it, it seems silly, but we do it very often. We exchange the glory of an immortal Creator God for all of these other things that seem to satisfy, that seem to be what life is about. But they are all created things. So if you're here this morning and you've never acknowledged God as your Creator and Jesus Christ, His Son, I invite you to believe today, to offer yourself for the purpose that you were created for, to not hesitate, to don't wait, to stop worshiping the created, because it will never completely satisfy you. It is beautiful, it is wonderful, it is made by God, but it is still only created things. Embrace the truth and discover what it is you were truly created for. And for those of you who believe and have been walking with God, I would just encourage you and myself to set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. For it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. It is in God Himself. And so, would we turn away from all of those things that are drawing our worship, amazing as they are? What is it that you worship? I want you to think about it for yourself. What are the things that you worship? And you know what they are. Your spouse knows what they are. That you, if you don't know what they are, just ask them or ask a close friend. They could tell you the things. They'll list them off for you. Here's the things that you worship. And maybe you could take that as a challenge to ask somebody, what is it that I worship? And pull those things in line with the created and the Creator. It's not that we don't enjoy all of these things. God gave them to us to enjoy. They're beautiful and wonderful, and He gave them to us to enjoy within His constraints, within His boundaries. He gave them to us to enjoy. But what is it that you worship? And maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling like, you know what, I don't really have much to offer. You know, maybe, you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have any exceptional skills. I don't have, you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't know what I'm even here for. And I want to remind you that every single thing you do is an opportunity to give glory to the Lord. It doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. Every single thing you do today is an opportunity to point not only yourself, but those around you to the glory of an immortal God who created everything. Whether it is you're creating construction things or whether you're working in software or with computers or whether you're just using your iPhone and you think, isn't it amazing that God made all these properties for this to come together and work? Everything we do is an opportunity to point to the Lord. Our small group is going through the book of Revelation, and I so enjoyed this last couple of chapters we went through, Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And I would encourage you to read them as well with chapter 1 of Genesis, because there's such a sense of awe of this amazing God that you get in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And you probably have read these at some times, but you have God seated on His throne, and you have this beautiful rainbow over the throne. You have peals of thunder and lightning, and you have the 24 elders around the throne on their thrones. You have these creatures, these amazing creatures who are saying all the time, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And if the worship team could come up, we're going to join in with them soon here. And you have the 24 elders bowing down every time. The creatures say this, the 24 elders bow down before the Lord. And they have crowns and they throw their crowns at the feet of God. And you have the Lamb of God seated on the throne with the Father. And it says that there are many angels numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders.
And in a loud voice they say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then it says, "And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing." And I want you to think about that. Every single creature. Whether you're a believer or not, in this whole world, everyone at one time will join in giving God the glory that He deserves. And so I would suggest that we not wait till that time, but that we do it now, not just through singing, but through everything that we do in life. Would you stand? Let's sing together. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Especially the chorus, I like the part where it says, "With all creation, I sing." With all of creation. That is what all of creation is for. It is all to give honor and glory to the Creator God.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are everything, and I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mansion of Your Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. adore you.
Lord, we give you honor this morning. And Lord, we know that we are weak, that we are only the created, and we are limited, even in how we can give you honor and praise. But Lord, we just give you ourselves this morning. Everything that we have, everything that we are, we give it to you. And pray that our lives would point to you. All that we do would point to you, that would honor you. That people, when they see us, they would see you and who you are and how great you are. And those things that you've made us to do well, Lord, I pray that we would not gain pride in that, but that we would take that as an opportunity to point people to you. And those things that we struggle with in our lives, Lord, that we're discouraged about, that we would be encouraged, that you made us exactly how we are, that you made us each as individuals, and that we each can honor you with the things that you've given to us, the way that you've made us, that we can fulfill that purpose that you've given to us. And we just give thanks for that opportunity. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.